And welcome to the Monday edition of Q&A, about 5 minutes early, but we'll make it work for you. First of all, I want to thank Gregory Scott for filling in so well for us last week. Gregory's a terrific host. You can listen to him mornings on our sister station, KDDL Cattle Country, as he leads the cattle drive. So thanks to Gregory for hosting last week. Got a chance to see a couple of movies and to review quite a few new movies coming to the Harkins Theater the rest of the week until Thursday. We have 4 new movies, including Assassination Nation. Oh boy, another social media movie. Also, Fahrenheit 11-9, the very provocative, polarizing, and predictable Michael Moore movie. If you've seen Bowling for Columbine and Roger and Me and Fahrenheit 9-11, you probably know what to expect. That is Michael Moore. The House with a Clock in Its Walls. Imagine if Harry Potter had moved in with the Addams family. It's kind of like that a little bit. And Life Itself. Now, this is a really polarizing film. People either really, really, really love Life Itself, or they really, really hate it. They respected the film critic A.O. Scott in the New York Times, who's a very responsible critic. He's not prone to hyperbole. He says the film is so schmaltzy and so sugary sweet and so tragic that it is sometimes inadvertently hilarious. So that's not a good sign for a filmmaker. Also showing at the Harkins 14 this week, The Predator, A Simple Favor, White Boy Rick, Bisbee 17, Crazy Rich Asians, God Bless the Broken Road, The Nun, Peppermint, Searching, Unbroken Path to Redemption, and The Wife, and of course tomorrow is Tuesday. That means Tuesday Night Classics, one of the all-time greats, Young Frankenstein, starring Gene Wilder and Marty Feldman, directed of course by Mel Brooks. A few years ago, if you're a fan of Turner Classic Movies, you know about their Turner Classic Movies Classic Movie Weekend, and I attended that a few years ago on Hollywood Boulevard. Had a really tough chance, choice to make. I could either go to Grauman's Chinese Theater to see my favorite movie, Chinatown, and listen to TCM host Robert Osborne interview the movie's producer and writer, or I could go a mile down past Vine Street to the Egyptian Theater and watch Young Frankenstein and listen to Mel Brooks talk about it from the stage. How's that for choices? Well, I ended up going with Chinatown, and Mel Brooks, of course, is still with us. Hey, guess who's also with us? We're going to have Charla Mortimer, our friend from Mortimer Farms in Dewey, coming on in just a few minutes. In the meantime, her PR person and all-around good gal, Jean Lupa, is here. Jean, what's going on these days in your life?
Since retirement, traveling, and of course, my passion is helping out with the farm. So I've been working the farm, and we are getting ready, and it's, oh my gosh. I don't know if you can hear the excitement in me, okay, but yeah. My passion for the farm has been...
You're just a Twitter.
I am totally a Twitter, because I watch what they do.
Yeah.
They were setting up the whole new kitchen area in the food court. DJ, when you see it, you are going to freak out. It is just so beautiful and just so big. And everything they're doing out there is getting bigger and better every single year.
And, you know, just think about a few years ago when it was Young's Farm, right?
That was more like about 10, 15 years
ago. Was that long ago? Mm-hmm. Really? But look at the changes that have taken place there. I mean, they have really built this place into a destination, a location.
Completely, because we have festivals all throughout the year, what we call festivals, okay, which is when we open everything up and have everything functioning, food, the works, all ready to rock and roll for the Berry Festival, the Sweet Corn Festival. Of course, Pumpkin Festival is all month long, starting this weekend and going to the last weekend in October.
Were you there for the farm-to-table dinner?
No, I was not. I was still out of town.
That was 2 weeks ago. Oh, you're on vacation, yeah. Well, I mean, you're always on vacation.
I'm always on vacation.
Come on. No, farm-to-table, I understand, was a tremendous event. A great local dining experience and community event. They had, of course, a great dinner. They had dancing, live music.
They had 350 people attending farm to table.
I didn't know that. Wow.
And what they've done is in the back area of the farm, is where they used to have the old barn, and they used to hold the festivals there, mm-hmm. back there. Well, they have turned that into an event area, and they took the barn and completely redid it. It is absolutely beautiful. They hold their wedding receptions there, any kind of event you could possibly want, huge stage for your bands to come in and play, and every Friday night they do a barn dance out there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like really cool, because every Friday night you can come out and boot scoop boogie, you know?
Speaking of that, how have you been spending your retirement?
How have I been spending my retirement? For those of you who don't know, Joe and I bought a big, excuse my language, a big, bad, but fifth wheel, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we have been traveling the Southwest, like you were just talking about the Bisbee 17.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I never knew the history of Bisbee.
I didn't either. And the thing, have you seen the movie, by the way?
Not yet. When I just heard you talk about that,
After
we had gone through all the museums in Bisbee,
mm-hmm.
It was amazing because I never knew what had happened in Bisbee, during the strike.
Yeah.
And
in the movie, they have locals recreate all those characters and situations in the movie. Yeah.
But that's what Joe and I do when we're on the road. We don't go to the big fancy towns. I think the biggest one was Salt Lake City, believe it or not. But we follow the old 89, all mm-hmm. these old roads, 50, and we find small towns. And we discover them, and it's just fascinating, the history that's in the Southwest and how people came across the country. And I'm doing it in the fifth wheel, and I'm scared to death, you know. And by the way,
why are you scared to death?
The speed limit going through Salt Lake City. You can only take the I-15 to get from point A to point B. Same with Salt Lake City, and the same with Austin, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
On the I-35, speed limit going through town, complete rush hour traffic. You ready?
Yeah.
75 miles an hour.
No kidding. Mm, wow.
And we're hauling a 40-foot fifth wheel with a one-ton dually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, get out of our way.
Get out of our way, lady. Oh, man. You know, you mentioned how you were exploring these towns. Not too long ago, I was a big, big bicyclist, and I used to put my bike on a rack in the back of the car and just go down the highway. And whatever looked interesting in the distance, I'd pull off, park the car, take the bike off, and just go explore, because you're going fast enough on the bicycle where you get some miles in, but you're also going slow enough to appreciate everything roadside. And in a kind of a funny way, it's almost like taking a train through the old towns that were bypassed when the interstate highway system
mm-hmm.
came in, because you're seeing, you know, the roots of that town.
And the kicker is, one of our stops was a little town called Ely, Nevada. And Nevada, the whole state is mining.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, believe it or not, it's not all gambling.
Hard to believe.
It's mining. And with Ely, when you were talking about the trains, we actually took the old Kennecott mining train all the way down from one town to another, and we saw the history of the town, and the narrator told the story of even how they had to pick up this one town, pick it up while the guys went to work, and the women had to go into town. They picked up the whole town and moved it because the tailings piles were getting too big, and they needed more room. The one mistake the mining company made, they forgot to tell people or keep track of which house was moved where.
Oh.
So when you came home from work and you're going to the old area where the houses are no longer there, they've picked them up, moved them 10 miles down the road, except you don't know which section of that little town now your house is in.
Oh my.
And you had to go from door to door to find your house.
Good way to meet your neighbors.
Oh yeah. And we met so many people.
Wow.
So many people on the road.
You know, speaking of moving the house, you are touring the country in a moving house, essentially,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And, you know, I remember interviewing Bob Bean at Affinity RV a couple of years ago on Sandy Moss's TV show. And, I have never had an RV, but I envy people who do, because here when I travel, you know, I take a motel room wherever I can get it, which means, of course, at the end of your day's travels, you got to go back to the motel, whereas with an RV, your motel is wherever you decide to park, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Yeah, that really is nice.
We have tried to stay it mostly at the mom-and-pop RV parks.
Mm-hmm.
We were in Wells, Nevada. Another interesting little fact about history, okay? In 2008, the little town of Wells, Nevada was hit with a 6.9 earthquake.
Really?
Whole Main Street gone. But we went into the Chamber of Commerce's little museum that they have set up, and they tell you the whole story of what happened. They take you through, and you can actually see buildings that are still there that have been destroyed by the earthquake. And we went out to an old ghost town out there, but it was a mom-and-pop RV park. We stayed there, and I actually helped the owner of the RV park do apples and everything, which we'll be doing out at the farm.
Isn't that interesting?
And peeling apples and making everything.
Well, speaking of being out at the farm, guess who just walked in the door? Our buddy, Charlotte Mortimer.
Yay, Charlotte Mortimer. I'm here. Hello.
Good afternoon. Good to see you again. I was just asking Jean, because she was on vacation when this occurred, how'd the farm to table event go?
Oh, my gosh. It was so awesome. We had 350 people of our closest friends came out and just had a fantastic. The weather was absolutely magnificent. Yeah. The moon was out. The stars were gleaming. And it was just beautiful. And food turned out great, and mm-hmm. the band was phenomenal. They had dancing and everything. So it was a great time. We really enjoyed it.
And we'll be talking about the upcoming Pumpkin Fest in just a moment on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. We stream live around the world at kqna.com. Don't go away.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
And we are back live at 210. We have Charla Mortimer here with, of course, Jean Lupa. Charla, you've had a lot of big things happening out at the farm. Before we talk about the Pumpkin Fest, tell us about some of the changes.
Oh, man. It's funny. I was talking to a friend the other day, and they were talking about all these changes that we've made. And I'm like, well, it's just a blur to me, I guess, because we've been so busy this whole year getting everything ready and doing different things. And so it all just runs together. But a big change is we've, just continued to develop more of our food stuff. And so that's really exciting. And our staffing has been fantastic. So our kitchen staff has been busy getting everything ready for this weekend and for our opening weekend. And it's just going to be an amazing year. So we're thrilled. Everything's coming together.
And, Jean, you were mentioning, too, some of the changes you've noticed you're really excited about.
Where do I begin? I was out the other day just checking. Okay, let's get ready. Let's see what we're going to do. And here they are. They have created this whole new kitchen in the food court area. And, I mean, this thing is immense. And so now, instead of just going to this one little window, mm-hmm. and the food being cooked back here and all. I mean, they've got two windows set up. They've got a freezer all in there. So everything's going to be fresh. Everything's going to be cold. The crew that she has, she's got Jen Bacon in the country store. She's going to have Taz and Gary cooking out in the kitchen. Not Gary Mortimer, Gary the other Gary.
Gary
the cook.
I'm sure he loves being called the other Gary, but that's all right.
But, just all the new adventurous things. Like when you go out there, up on this big hill they have, where they have these tunnels where kids can slide down in this kind of like a little mountain, you'll see goats out there just grazing along.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like going, oh my gosh. And it's just part of the farm.
Yeah.
And Ashley had ordered all these different signs to be put up in different areas. And by the pumpkin patch, she's got one that explains the birth of a pumpkin.
Oh.
And it takes from the seed to everything that has to go on with that pumpkin to get it to this huge pumpkin. And me being the shy, quiet person that I am,
oh, yeah.
I looked at Ashley and I said, you forgot the main thing at the end. And she went, what's that? And I said, the pie.
Oh, of course.
Where's the pumpkin pie at the end? That's what we eat. But it just, everything is so professional out there.
Charlotte, you guys are getting so big out there. One of these days, you're gonna turn that into an amusement park the way it looks.
What are your future plans
for the property?
I don't ever want to get that far with it. Yeah. To me, this is about the farm, yeah. and the activities are fun, and we love to have the kids come out and, you know, get their attention. But, we will forever be a farm. Mm-hmm. And, with the strawberries harvesting right now, you can go right out into the strawberry patch and still pick strawberries, and the pumpkin patch. I mean, that's to me what makes us unique, yeah. and what makes it different. And mm-hmm. so we embrace that, and we'll continue to embrace that.
So tell us about the Pumpkin Fest.
Oh, my goodness. So the Pumpkin Fest is going to be totally amazing this year. Open every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Columbus Day, which is a week from Monday. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be doing all different kinds of shows and games and activities. The hay rides, of course, that's always a family favorite. We've got different shows. We've got our dog race shows, the miniature dog races. We've got pig races. We've got a magic show. Our magician's fantastic. We've got a barn dance on Friday night. So we'll continue to do our barn dance. And then on Saturday evenings, we're going to do karaoke. So that'll be a fun thing.
Who's hosting karaoke?
Oh, come on, Gene.
Would that be Link?
Yes.
KQ&A and KPPV's only Link Quisenberry?
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And we are going to have a blast with it. It's always so much fun doing the karaoke, and especially when the kids get up there and sing. You know, sure. it's just a blast. So that will be a great time. Try to do some different things and unique things and bring families out. And it's about families coming out and spending time together. And we've got some great entertainment for them
to do. Creating memories.
But you made it real clear. It's always the farm first. And on that note, you know, we've talked about in your past visits, we've talked about the different challenges in farming for certain produce items as the seasons change. As it starts getting colder, the days are getting shorter. What do you have to do regarding your animals on the farm?
So we're pretty lucky here that we don't ever get real, real cold. And so they're pretty good. We've got shelter for them, of course. And mm-hmm. the animals are pretty much out year round, and they do a great job. They're just, we've got everybody sheared and cleaned up and ready for the season, but they're doing great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when the kids get all the feed to feed the chickens, and then they feed the goats, and it's to see these little kids just so excited to be able to feed an animal and pet it and all that stuff. And Charlotte gives me the opportunity, which is my favorite job in the whole wide world, is on the weekends, I walk around and I just go, hi, how's it going? What are you doing? Do you need any help?
See, and I thought your favorite thing was the barrel train driver.
Oh, choo-choo. Yeah, I get to drive the train, too. She lets me drive the train, and I don't kill any little kids. It's really fun.
Yeah.
What a switch, huh? You ought to see Gene walking around the farm going, if I could talk to the animals, just imagine. Goodness.
If I could walk with the animals, mm-hmm. talk with the animals.
There we go.
And I do.
Yeah,
no, we have a great time, and it's a fantastic season. It takes a lot of people to make it all come together, from our fantastic staff to our farm crew that makes sure that everything's planted and growing. And I mean, we've been working on this all year long,
sure.
literally. And then all of our great vendors that come out. Oh man, we've got some great vendors this year. Definitely need to come out and check them out. I don't have the list in front of me here, but we've got some awesome vendors.
Gregory Scott is going to be so happy, because Rockin' Red's Barbecue is coming back to the farm.
Yep.
And she's going to be setting up, because Gregory loves her barbecue.
Nice.
And
nice.
White Eyes Fry Bread.
Sure, yep. We've got a ice cream company this year. So, yeah, so that's a new thing.
To get fat.
Yeah, delicious ice cream. I know, I love ice cream. So
yeah,
that's a me for sure. Yeah, and then we got Mexican food. That's another one of our food vendors. And cheese steaks.
Oh, yeah, the cheesesteak.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
He makes the best cheesesteaks in the world.
And speaking of food vendors, our favorite food vendor out there, of course, is the Mortimer Country Store. So tell us, because next week is October, which means we're getting to that season, what should people do if they would like to have a homegrown turkey or ham?
Oh, look at you. That was a great segue.
That's a great segue.
Yeah. Beautiful. I'm impressed.
You know, you're pretty talented at this.
I'm learning this job so fast.
But you're right. It is time to order turkeys because, you know, October's here and Thanksgiving's right around the corner. So, yeah, get a call into the nursery. Actually, just go on our website. That's probably the best place to do it. And go on there and get your turkeys reserved. And they're getting ready to be gobbled up.
Okay. Keep your day job.
There you go.
Yeah, but we just have too much fun and working with people like the caliber of Charlene Gary Mortimer is such a thrill for me. And then to work with their crew, you've had people with you for 20, 30 years between the nursery and the farm. I've seen the same little guy planting ever since we started the farm.
You know, that's a good point because years ago when I was in California, I worked in the funeral cemetery industry, and there were people who talk about serving the same family over several generations. They call it a heritage business.
Okay.
Now, with the nursery and the farm, are you seeing a new generation of the same family coming in?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think people have seen my kids grow up, and we've been able to experience that as well. And so it's a really exciting thing to be involved in such a wonderful community.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I love the Prescott area, and I love all the people here. And so it's just a real passion of ours to be here, and we're just excited to be a part of it all.
Well, Mortimer Farms is such an asset for the community. How can people learn more about what's coming up at Mortimer Farms?
So the best thing to do is just go on our website, mortimerfarmsaz.com. I've got all kinds of information on there. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, I don't know, all those social media places.
And you can order your tickets for the festival and everything right online so you don't have to wait in line.
And it's a discounted rate online, too. So if you go online, you can save your family a little bit of money there and get those tickets. And then there's just a will call line. You just walk right up to the will call and in you are. So, happy to be here.
And then if you're lucky, you might be able to win a pair of tickets on either KPPV, the Mix 106, Cattle Country 94.3, or Jack FM 94.7. Not that I remember the call letters or anything.
You'd never guess she's retired, would you? Gene Lupa.
People tell me, you still work for Sanford. He just doesn't have to pay you anymore.
There you go. Gene Lupa and Charlotte Mortimer, thank you for joining us today on Q&A on behalf of Mortimer Farm. Stay tuned. Going to have some notes about movies you've thought were made in Arizona, and then we will have a link with the local and state news on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, streaming live at kqna.com.
Do not paint your own house. If you paint your house, you will spill the paint. If you spill the paint, you will have to replace your floor. To replace your floor, you will pay the floor man enough money to go to Hawaii. Don't pay your floor man to go to Hawaii. Call Century Painting. We will paint your house, not spill the paint, save you money, and send you to Hawaii. So call Century Painting, 778-2374, or go to centurypainting.com.
There's a lot of propane companies out there, but not many that have been around as long as Yavapai Bottle Gas since 1987. Same owners, same values, and same fair pricing. Yavapai Bottle Gas has lots of options, too, like their pre-buy program or budget payment plans. You can always count on Yavapai Bottle Gas for straightforward, professional propane service where you want it, when you want it. Give your friends at Yavapai Bottle Gas a call at 776-9007, and don't forget to say thanks.
Incredible. incredible savings on previously hail-damaged vehicles are available now at Lamb Chevrolet and Lamb Nissan. This is Ed Walsh for the Lamb Auto Group. As many of you know, Lamb Chevrolet and Lamb Nissan were hit by a hailstorm in July, and almost every vehicle on our lot was damaged. With the help of hail repair experts from around the country, all of our cars are now repaired. And due to the hail coming straight down with very little wind, the cars are now 99.9% perfect. Most customers can't even believe the cars were ever dented. But just because the vehicles look perfect doesn't mean that you can't save huge money. Our insurance reimbursements have been massive, and that money's being used to discount our cars and trucks to unprecedented levels. Our loss can be your gain. Combine our current factory incentives with the hail money, and now is the time to buy a car. The hail repaired vehicles are selling very quickly, so come visit us at Lamb Chevrolet and Lamb Nissan while supplies last.
Visit lambchevy.com and lambnissan.com to see our complete selection.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
And you probably heard me talking before about movies showing currently at the Harkins 14. Well, if you followed movies across the years, you've seen a lot of movies that appeared to be set in Arizona when, in fact, they were filmed someplace else. Most recently, Only the Brave, about the Yarnell 19 Granite Mountain firefighters. That was based, of course, on a local firefighting group filmed in New Mexico. The movie Spare Parts with Jamie Lee Curtis and George Lopez is set in Phoenix, but is filmed once again in New Mexico. We're the Millers with Jason Sudeikis. There's a scene depicting the Tucson airport. Nope, it's Albuquerque. Cowboys and Aliens, the Harrison Ford, Daniel Craig film, once again set in Arizona. Nope, it was filmed in Bonanza Creek Ranch at Santa Fe, New Mexico. 310 to Yuma, the 2007 remake with Russell Crowe and Christian Bale. That had New Mexico's Bonanza Creek and Ghost Ranches doubling for Southern Arizona. Come on, folks. New Mexico's taking all of our movie business. Rami and Michelle's High School Reunion. That was set at Tucson's fictional Sagebrush High. It was actually filmed at Valencia High School in Santa Clarita, California. And even Wyatt Earp, believe it or not, set in Tombstone, that was filmed, you guessed it, in New Mexico at the Ghost Ranch. And what would really surprise people, the final scene in Thelma and Louise, where the two of them go off the cliff into the canyon in their car going down together. A lot of people think it's the Grand Canyon. Nope. That's the area, that's the canyon in Moab, Utah. So, movies you thought were in Arizona, they're set in Arizona, not filmed here. Stay tuned. We've got news with Link, local and state news and weather with Link coming up in just a moment. And then we're going to talk with Matthew Hennessy, who warns in his book Zero Hour that now is the time for Generation Xers to, quote, save America from millennials and baby boomers. That's coming up on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, streaming live at kqna.com.
James Roush here of Wallach & Volk Mortgage. Are you interested in buying a home and just have a million questions running through your head? The James Roush team at Wallach & Volk Mortgage is here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week by appointment. Even if you need to meet on Saturday morning because of your work schedule, we'll be there. Call the James Roush team at 445-8730, Wallach & Volk Mortgage.
License number 00128295, LNS number 16209, Equal Opportunity Lender.
Are you an energetic, outgoing professional that has good people skills? Then Truly Nolan Pest Control, a leading pest control company in Arizona since 1955, has a well-paying career for you. We are looking for just the right candidates in our Prescott Valley office for both sales and service. You must have a valid driver's license, pass a drug test, and background check. For more information on positions available, please visit our website at trulynolan.com. Click on Careers, then Positions and City. An equal opportunity employer, trulynolan.com.
When the need for senior care arises, there's no place like home. Your loved ones should never have to give up living at home. Visiting Angels will provide home care for your mom or dad at home up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You'll select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. Look up visitingangels.com or call 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Franchises are available. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Napa Know How.
Right now, Mobile One Full Synthetic Motor Oil is $29.99 for a 5-quart jug. Its advanced formula provides maximum sludge protection, defending your engine like a catcher defends home plate. So, get top-notch engine protection with the Mobile One Full Synthetic 5-quart jug for $29.99. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer ends 9/30/18.
The Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A.
Good afternoon, and thanks for making the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, your choice for your Monday. I'm Link Elliott with a check of news and weather together on Q&A with DJ Phone, brought to you by Wallach & Volk. Things are back to normal on I-17 in the Sedona area after two semi-trucks crashed into each other, causing a closure of the highway. At 2:45 Saturday afternoon, Sedona Fire District crews found one of the semis was on fire. The fire had spread to the wildland area off I-17. Copper Canyon fire crews also responded and worked to put the flames out on the semi. Sedona fire crews started an attack on the wildfire, which grew to 1/4 acre and was burning at a fast rate. A hose line was used to stop forward progression. They then helped Copper Canyon on the semi-fire and with medical care for both drivers. I-17 was shut down for 3 hours following the crash. Yavapai County and Paradise Valley detectives are working to clear up the fraud trail attached to 11 properties in Yavapai County and 13 in Maricopa County.
Paradise Valley detectives learned someone forged documents showing an elderly woman had signed over her property to someone in Indiana. It was later discovered the notary's signature was a forgery. Yavapai County Sheriff's Office spokesman Dwight Devlin says detectives tracked online activity and served a search warrant on 30-year-old Jesse Thacker's Cordis Lakes home.
Detectives located a notebook containing an outline of the fraudulent activities authored by Thacker. There were pages of signatures from victims used by Thacker.
Devlin describes what part of Thacker's plan entailed.
To start a real estate company, transfer the properties to that company, and then sell them off. He also admits in his writings, quote, "If I keep doing it, I'm really going to get in big trouble," unquote.
Thacker is facing 14 counts of forgery, theft, fraud, and identity theft. The value of the affected properties has been estimated at more than $7 million. I'm Bill Monroe reporting.
Taking a look now at your KQ&A weather. Cloudy skies and chance rain through tomorrow. Expect an overnight low of 55 tonight in the Prescott area, with a high of 81 tomorrow and a high of 84 on Wednesday. 58 degrees tonight for Cottonwood and the Verde Valley, with a high on Tuesday of 90 and a high on Wednesday of 93. Q&A will continue after this. I'm Link Elliott for the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, and 95.5 FM. KQ&A.
If you are a current or former smoker, you may want to think about screening for lung cancer with low-dose computed tomography. The U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recommends lung cancer screening annually for those at high risk. Yavapai Regional Medical Center performs low-dose CT screening in Prescott and Prescott Valley. It only takes a few moments, and it can set your mind at ease while giving you and your doctor the information you need for intervention if needed. Lung cancer is the leading cause of cancer death for men and women in the United States, and early detection is important. Talk to your doctor about your risk for lung cancer and how low-dose CT screening can help, or call YRMC's Patient Navigator at 928-771-5454. Do it for your peace of mind and for the ones you love.
Arizona Diamondbacks Baseball is live on KQ&A. Diamondbacks Baseball brought to you by Courtesy Auto Sales,
Warriors Heating and Cooling,
Prescott Brewing Company,
You Pick
Heritage Memory Mortuary,
Yavapai Heating and Cooling,
Buc-ee's and Yavapai Casino,
Quality Collision,
Cable One,
National Bank of Arizona,
Prescott Dirt,
Home Furnishings Direct,
M-Co,
Bradshaw Family Dental,
Yavapai Block,
Wallach and Volk,
Yavapai Regional Medical Center,
Prescott Valley Heating and Cooling,
D-Max hosts the Dodgers
Monday at 6,
1 a.m. 11:30, 99.9 FM in Prescott and Chino Valley, and 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood.
KQ&A.
Take me out to the ball game.
We'll be right back.
Take advantage of your golden years. These are the times to reflect, relax, and have a whole lot of fun. Country Bank's Home Equity Conversion Mortgage, known as a reverse mortgage, could be your supplemental financial option. Suzanne Cosley, the reverse mortgage specialist at Country Bank, can show you how to convert a portion of your home equity into tax-free money.
Come by and see me, Suzanne Cosley at Country Bank, or call me at 928-583-9015 for more details.
An equal housing lender, member FDIC.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQNA. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Welcome back to Q&A. Matthew Hennessy is the Associate Editor of Editorial Features at the Wall Street Journal. He's also the author of a new book. It's called Zero Hour for Gen X, How the Last Adult Generation Can Save America from Millennials. Matthew, welcome to Q&A. Why'd you write Zero Hour for Gen X?
Well, I wrote this book because I noticed something happening in my personal life that I didn't particularly like, which was that I was getting a little carried away with my devices, like my phone and my computer and my social media, and the technology was just kind of getting the better of me, and I was doing things like checking my phone when I was making pancakes with my kids on a Saturday morning, or you know how it is. A lot of people are dealing with this right now. First thing in the morning, you check your phone. All day long, you're tied to a computer or looking at your phone, and then you find yourself brushing your teeth at night looking at your phone. So I thought, well, this is a big change. I didn't used to be like this. I used to have the ability to concentrate and wait for things, and I was a little more patient. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago that we just didn't have this kind of digital distraction, as they call it. So I wanted to investigate it, see what was behind it. I started talking to some people, some friends of mine who are roughly my own age. I'm in my 40s. And I heard back from them that they're bothered by it too. They could feel themselves changing, feel their relationships being affected by it. And they didn't particularly like the drift of things. And what I found when I spoke to younger people is, and by younger people I mean people in their 20s, that there was not nearly as much concern. The response I got was, you know, what's the big deal? These devices, this technology is all good. It's been great. And this is just the way the world is. This is the way the world should be. And what I realized was that they didn't remember a time when the internet didn't exist, and they didn't remember a time when this great big massive thinking machine wasn't standing by to solve all their problems for them. And I realized that they had a very different childhood than I had, and I thought that this was in some way going to ultimately become a problem. So that's the reason that I wrote the book, was to explore those ideas and see if there wasn't some way back for me from the sort of confusion that I had arrived at about my relationship with my technology.
So define for us, what is a Gen Xer and what is a millennial?
So a Gen Xer is someone my age, roughly between the ages of 40 and let's say 55 at the moment, born between roughly 1965 to 1980. There's not a whole lot of consensus on the cutoffs for these things, by the way. A millennial is someone who was born after 1980 and before about the year 2000. Some people cut it off earlier, 95, 96, something like that. But I take a generous view, and I keep the millennial window open to the year 2000 because, after all, that's what they were named after. They were named after the coming millennium. So a millennial is someone who is currently between the ages of about 18 and 35 or 38 at this point.
And what do you consider the strengths and weaknesses of each of these generations?
Well, as I was discussing earlier, the Generation X is, we had a technology-free childhood in the sense that we didn't have smartphones and cell phones and the internet standing by, and that made us slightly free-rangier, I believe is the term that's in vogue these days. You know, we left the house and in the morning and our parents didn't know where we were, so that made us adaptable, it made us resilient, it made us problem solvers, made us the kind of people that you could rely on to get jobs done, and that's made us us very useful as employees and friends and spouses as adults. The stereotype about millennials is that they are somewhat entitled and impatient with the pace of change. Now, it's a stereotype. You've got 80 million people, roughly, in the millennial cohort, so it's not going to apply to everyone. And I've noticed that most millennials and parents of millennials don't particularly appreciate some of this discussion, but it's a fact that the millennial generation, steeped as it is in time-saving technology and the wonderful miracle of the Internet, has lost patience, I think, with problems that are difficult to solve, problems that can't be solved in an instant. So while they have a lot of good things going for them, they're entrepreneurial, they are clever, and they're large, there's a lot of them, they have, as a group, one major flaw, which is its thorough impatience with difficult problems.
Now, in your book, Zero Hour for Gen X, you say that culturally, politically, socially, technologically, and economically, the torch is being passed from baby boomers to millennials. Now, how are millennials already seizing that power, and why is Gen X being bypassed?
So I didn't get a chance to mention much about the baby boomers, in part because I think that people kind of know that story. The baby boom was previously the largest generation of Americans and moved through the culture and the political economy sort of like a tsunami, just leveling things in their path, upending traditional ways of doing things. They were a very disruptive generation, famously a selfish and self-centered generation, the me generation, as Tom Wolfe put it. And they are currently heading towards the exits, but not quite willing to leave as planned. So you've got a generation of politicians that are in their 70s who are sort of in charge. The president is a baby boomer. Of course, the person he defeated for the job was a baby boomer. The previous president was a baby boomer, as was the two previous presidents. So they've been around for quite a long time at the top of the heap and in positions of power in most of the institutions of America. In life. Now what you see is that most of the fervor and energy politically seems to be shifting towards millennials. And so, you've got this young crop of very ambitious millennial politicians, call themselves socialists, whatever that may mean to them, who are making all the waves and who are set to rumble through the Democratic Party in the coming few election cycles and to cause a lot of disruption there first, I'm sure. It will ripple out into other parts of the country. So I have this image of the baby boomers passing the torch right over the head of the Gen Xers. Our relative small size compared to both of these generational cohorts makes us a bit of a valley in the American demography. So Gen X has a tendency to not get mentioned and to sort of just get swept aside. Now I want to be clear. I'm not calling for some kind of posse to ride out to the frontier and put the stake down and make it 1985 again. That's not possible, and that's just silly. What I'm calling for is for people my age to, engage a little bit. We're so busy with our lives. We're in midlife. We're parents. We're paying mortgages. We're working through careers. But I think that there's so many things going on, so many changes happening in the way that we live, in the way that we interact with our technology, that people my age need to sort of step up.
Speaking of that technology, why does the millennial addiction to technology and social media, as your book posits, threaten our freedoms?
Well, there's a couple of ways. Number one, moving all of your personal data online is clearly a security risk, and I think people understand intuitively how that can happen. We've been seeing a lot of pushback about it this year, people suddenly saying, oh my goodness, these companies out in Silicon Valley, they know an awful lot about me, and perhaps I would have thought twice about letting them know all that stuff had I known what was going on. Now, here we are 10 or 12 years into the social media revolution. We can't plead ignorance anymore. We know what their business model is. We know what their approach is. As I said earlier, people my age in our 40s and above are uneasy about having these companies know so much about us and making so much money off of our intimate details. whereas most millennials that I speak to are not that concerned with the lack of privacy or the loss of privacy. I've been told by millennials that in the future they expect that everything will be public and that there won't be any privacy, but that's just the price of entry. That's what you have to give up in order to get all this wonderful connectivity and the ability to call a taxi with the push of a button on your phone, or to get a hotel room, or get a date even. Like, you know, this is where we want to be. We want to have all of these conveniences at our fingertips, and the trade-off is our privacy. Now, the other concern is security. You know, all of these systems are easily hacked. I have lots of examples in my book of really scary things happening with people who have brought these devices into their homes, so-called smart devices. The Internet of Things is one of my bugaboos. This is the idea that all of the devices in your home will be connected to the Internet, from the front door lock on your house to the toaster. And they will all be collecting information about you if they aren't already and sending them back to the cloud the way your phone does today. Your car will be doing it as well. So almost every area of life that was once a private space will become essentially a public space, because that's what the Internet is. These tools are very unique in the history of mankind in the sense that they are a two-way street. There's data coming in, but there's also data going out. The tools are actually using us in a way that's never been a feature of human existence.
Now, what unique life experiences and virtues do you think Gen Xers possess that would allow them to save America from millennials?
Well, I call us the last adult generation, and that's because we were the last generation to have the benefit of that free-range childhood. But more than that, we were raised in an environment very different than has been customary for children to be raised in over the last 2, 3, or even 4 decades. That is that the cult of constant encouragement, as I call it, hadn't quite formed. And, you know, in the 1970s and the 1980s, there was very little sense among adults that children's self-esteem was the paramount, their paramount concern, the thing that had to be protected against all possible harm. During the 90s, for some reason, and a lot of people have spilled ink over this trying to figure out why, the helicoptering of children, the helicopter parenting phenomenon took off. These bubble-wrapped childhoods became the norm, where children are shuttled from play date to play date, and from soccer practice to choir practice and to tutoring and back home again, and where every single moment of their day is structured such that they're never bored and that they never encounter a harsh opinion about their talents or their choices. So that's a big difference between the generations that accounts for much of the stereotype that I was referring to earlier, the selfishness or the impatience and the entitlement. For many millennials, and I know this is not true for all of them, I know that there are many patriotic, hardworking millennials like serving in the military and volunteering in refugee camps around the world, and they defy the stereotype, of course. But for many millennials, I think their first day on the first job out of college is the first time that anybody's ever asked them to do something that they don't want to do. And that's a shocking trend for this country. And I think that people who remember what life was like before the cult of constant encouragement formed need to do what they can in their personal lives, if necessary in their professional lives, to restore some of those values. I'm not suggesting that the government needs to step in and solve this problem, or that there needs to be some sort of continental solution, as if there could be. Of course there couldn't be. I'm asking people to take a look at their own lives and see if they can't get back in touch with some of that brick and mortar, handshake, eye contact lifestyle that used to be the norm.
Now, you say in your book, if we don't act fast, the millennial wave is going to sweep Gen X overboard. So what practical steps can Gen Xers take to seize control back from millennials and begin leading the country in business, politics, entertainment, and the culture?
Well, as I've been saying, it has to start in the home. It has to start with your family if you have one. It has to start with you. I think I made it clear that the The reason I wrote this book was because I noticed this trend was affecting me. So I confess that I'm just as bad as any millennial when it comes to my addiction to technology. The difference is that I'm trying to do something about it, and I'm urging other people to do something similar too. So number one, I say put down the phone. It has to be done. You can't be spending all day staring at the phone or staring at Twitter, because you know what it's doing to you. I've noticed what it was doing to me, and you're probably having a similar experience. Number two, you got to say no to this Internet of Things. And the most popular example of the Internet of Things these days is the Amazon Alexa. And I don't mean to single out a single product or a single company, although I do plenty of that in the book. But these devices, these so-called digital butlers or digital assistants that you bring into your home and that listen for a wake word so that you tell it to order toilet paper or to subscribe to Netflix or something, these devices are extremely problematic in the sense that they're what they are ultimately are bugs. They're a surveillance system. Now, all of the big Silicon Valley companies say, no, we only have your best interests at heart. We are not interested in spying on you. We're simply trying to provide you with a smooth experience and a great customer experience so that you will your life will be easier and you will be connected to the people that you need to be connected to. But in fact, they get busted constantly. We are learning that they are listening when we ask them not to listen, and they are collecting data when we tell them not to, and they are tracking our locations even when we've turned off that function on our phones. And what concerns me the most about the Amazon Alexa is that it's the proverbial camel's nose inside the tent. Mm-hmm. Once they've set up a surveillance system in your house, they're going to have to conclude that there's nothing you won't let them in on. And I don't think it takes a conspiracy theorist or a mind that tilts that way to see how this kind of thing could go badly, and how ultimately, whether it's political repression or even just a business sort of like sticking its nose where you wouldn't want it to. This is the kind of thing that years ago people would have laughed off and said, there's no way, you know, my house is my castle, or I would never let a company sort of sneak into my living room and listen to my conversations. But yet people are, they can't get enough of it. There was a story recently about a college in St. Louis that for this fall semester is outfitting all of its dorm rooms with Amazon Alexa. For what purpose, I can't imagine, but it all seems very nefarious to me. And so I'm asking people to think really hard and really critically about whether you're going to outfit your homes with these kind of smart devices, so-called smart devices, that while they might make your shopping experiences marginally more efficient, come at quite the cost. There's quite the trade-off and the price to pay. And we need to be thinking about that before we rush blindly into this future.
And one last question for you, Matthew. Why is memory of life before the Internet, to you, a source of optimism and possible cultural renewal?
Well, in part because, anytime you want to get back to something that you've lost, you need to have a memory of it. And so with the way the culture is changing so rapidly, it's easy to forget that this is a relatively recent phenomenon, that it wasn't that long ago that people weren't even checking their emails every day. So I think it requires an element of another thing that sort of encourages me about millennials is that you notice, if you know any, and you may be one, that there seems to be among them a real longing for a more authentic way of living. You see it in some of the hobbies that they're interested in, like organic cooking and making their own gin or pickles, and the handlebar mustaches and the strange long beards that they love, or fixed gear bicycles. But this kind of like sense of we need to get back to a healthier, more rooted lifestyle that's not so disconnected and disjointed by the isolation that technology can cause and was causing in my life. So I do have hope that there, while I'm being very critical of millennials, and it probably sounds like I'm bad-mouthing them, I have hope that there's a thread thread there that can be teased out, and we can probably all figure out a way to live with this technology in a way that doesn't make us feel like we're floating off into outer space and we're not connected to anything that, that used to be good and true and pure in our lives.
To connect with that, Matthew, I got a tremendous response from a friend recently who had a birthday. I didn't send him a text message or an email. I hand wrote a card, put it in an envelope with a stamp, and snail mailed it to him, and he was just overwhelmed.
Yeah, it's a shocking thing. I mean, I recently, just this is kind of a goof, but I bought a rotary telephone. But now, of course, I bought it off of Amazon, but where else are you going to get a thing like that? But the sensory experience of holding the heft of the handset and the little ding that it makes when you put it back in the cradle, it's all very comforting and very, you know, you feel like you're using a real tool rather than something that you can't possibly understand. It was common practice until just several decades ago for teenagers to get a beater of a car and, you know, pop the hood and see if they couldn't wrench around in the engine and get their hands a little greasy and figure out what was going on in there and get a thing running again. No kid could do that anymore, because when you pop the hood of a car, there's a computer in there. It's like it's impenetrable. So we're definitely shifting away from a way of living that I don't think we have all agreed we want to leave behind. But yet it's happening, and we're not getting much of a say in the matter. So I'm asking people to use the one power that you have, since you don't have since you can't vote Mark Zuckerberg out of office. It's not a democracy in that sense, but you do have the power. You have your purchasing power. You have your discretion when it comes to the kinds of devices and tools you'll bring into your home or into your car. That's really the only say we're going to get in this situation. So if you want to be able to buy a refrigerator that's not connected to the internet, you need to start making that preference known somehow. Maybe you do want a refrigerator that's connected to the internet, and I could see how there would be some efficiencies to be gained. But pay attention and be aware of the price that you're paying.
It reminds me of the old story of the teenager who had to make a 911 call from his grandmother's home, and the only phone in the house was a rotary dial, and he didn't know what to do. The author is Matthew Hennessy. The book is Zero Hour for Gen X, How the Last Adult Generation Can Save America from Millennials. How can we learn more about your writings and get a copy of your book?
Well, you could subscribe to the Wall Street Journal. That's my day job. If you want to see, every once in a while, you'll see my name in there. But my book is available in the usual places. I hope you have a bookstore still down there in Prescott.
We do.
You know, that people can buy it or request it there. I don't know if they have it in stock. I hope they do.
Thank you for that. We appreciate that very, very much. We thank you for joining us today on Q&A. Continued success in your writing.
Thanks a lot, TJ.
Provide value. That's what a CPA can do for you. Hi, this is David A. Snyder, CPA. Now is a great time of year for business valuations. Valuations are for providing a value for your business so you can retire from it, sell it, or expand it. With my ex-military, task-oriented mindset, and over 20 years of experience, you can trust that you can get the most accurate business valuation. Give me a call or visit DavidASnyderCPA.com for more information. You deserve the sharpest in Arizona. David A. Snyder, CPA.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
For 2,000 years, we've defended life and cared for the poor. We built hospitals and orphanages and started the university system. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are the Catholic Church, the church founded by Jesus. If you've been away from the Catholic faith, come home to Sacred Heart Church. We've been saving souls in Prescott for 140 years. Visit us at sacredheartprescott.com.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
When Jean Lupa was with us about a half hour ago, you heard her mention Bisbee, Arizona, and the Bisbee deportation. That movie, Bisbee 17, is still with the Harkins. And I just opened my last week's issue of the wonderful news magazine, The Week. Sure enough, there's a review of it in there. This is a national review, by the way. It says, Bisbee 17 is no ordinary documentary, set in Bisbee, Arizona, a former mining town just north of Mexico. Robert Greene's ambitious new film explores a crucial local historical event by having current residents reenact it. On July 12, 1917, a posse of 2,000 deputized townspeople rounded up 1,300 striking miners at gunpoint, loaded them into cattle cars, and left them in the desert hundreds of miles away. Not every Bisbee resident knew about the deportation before Green arrived, but many did, and as the reenactment by the locals unfolds, quote, we can see something in the town shift. The arguments that so violently split the community in 1917 divide it still. That's according to A.O. Scott, the film critic, in the New York Times. Some Bisbee residents argue the roundup was necessary to preserve the town's source of wealth. All of that's past history, but not once the play acting begins. Every important thing this movie is about is still alive. Good review of Bisbee 17 in The Week magazine. Well, I paid my first visit to the Memorial Coliseum in L.A. to see that god-awful Cardinals game against the Rams, and I discovered something you need to know if you go to the Coliseum. We sat in the upper bowl, the 87th row, seven rows from the top, and once you get about halfway up in that towering Coliseum, there are no handrails to help pull yourself up. You may need a Sherpa guide, so keep that in mind if you ever go to the Coliseum. Stay tuned now for Ben Shapiro at 3, Talk of the Town, Chino Valley at 4. Join me back here Tuesday at 2 for Q&A with my guest Gary Denton from AMCO for Wheels of Freedom, Mariah Sinclair, she is a book cover designer, and Ryan Harlow from the Prescott YMCA. That's Q&A Tuesday at 2 when I will see you on the radio.
You've been listening to Q&A on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by High Country Rec V-Center, David Snyder, CPA, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Prescott College. The views expressed on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Q&A with DJ Phone on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.